The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Monday afternoon, this is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio. My name is Braden Gall, honored to be here, filling in for the man, the myth, the legend, Paul Feinbaum, with SEC Media Days 1 week away. And I think the fair question to be asking about Alabama is exactly what happens in 2023. And I'd like to hear from you all, of course, 855-242-7285, because I think one of the biggest discussion points next week at SEC Media Days is going to be LSU versus Bama to pick to win the West. What is the vote split going to be like? And I think we don't know what's going to happen to Alabama. For the first time in 15 years, we do not know what is Alabama going to look like in 2023. Let's go to the phone lines. John Neighbors here joining us from 103.7 in Little Rock, covering the Arkansas Razorback. John, first of all, welcome to the show. I do appreciate it. Do you have a guess on LSU or Bama in the West this year?
I thought you were going to say Arkansas, too. You're not throwing them in the mix as well, man? I mean, come on. I know that's going to be a hot topic, but no, I mean, it's going to be – that one's a tough one, man. Usually it's always just been Bama for me, but the way LSU's been coming along – I'd probably right now lean towards LSU, if I'm going to be honest.
Well, I think that's what makes it so interesting. And I think Arkansas, not to – like, we're joking a little bit about picking them to win the West, but they are going to be a huge factor in the race because they can beat anybody at any time when you have the best quarterback in the conference. I think my question is, what do we make of Sam Pittman's two hires at offensive and defensive coordinator? He is going to have to be a great CEO to sustain success. What have the fans' reactions been to the decisions on the coaching staff?
Well, when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, I think most Razorback fans have been pretty happy with it because, to be honest, it was a pretty divisive fan base when it came to Kendall Briles. People liked what the offense looked like as far as the numbers and the stats, but there was still a lot of questionable play calls and stuff that they kept trying that never worked. I still don't think that they ever ran a trick play that worked to perfection, and they ran about 13 wide receiver screen passes or wide receiver pass back to the quarterbacks. It just never worked. So I think people were pretty torn on it, but getting Dan Enos now as the offense coordinator, a guy who was at Arkansas under Brett Bielema in the mid 2010s, they saw what he did with Brandon Allen and Austin Allen and really elevated that offense into something great in 2015. I think people think that, hey, he's got KJ Jefferson. He's got Rocket Sanders. He's got a solid offensive line in front of him. He's got some better tight ends. Maybe he can replicate that as well. So I think people are excited and thinking that it's going to take a huge step forward in offense. And it's kind of the same way on defense because Arkansas with Barry Odom last year, they were one of the best teams in getting to the quarterback. Drew Sanders, I think, led in the SEC in sacks, and they were incredible in the front, but they had the worst passing secondary in the entire country, and it wasn't even close. So I think Razorback fans now see it as, well, you can't get any worse than what it was last year in the passing game. So maybe the new players that they're bringing in, the new coaches, Travis Williams, a guy who's been around the SEC a long time, has brought in some good transfers, a lot of excitement, and a lot more much-needed depth. And will they be the great defense in the SEC? I don't know if I'll go that far, but all they need them to be is middle of the road, and it'll be a huge upgrade from what they had last season.
John Neighbors joining us here from 103.7 in Little Rock. And I actually had a chance to talk to KJ Jefferson this offseason, and I asked him if he was going to evolve or change his game at all to try to stay healthier, because part of what makes him so much fun to watch is he wants to finish runs like a linebacker. And I said, how's it going to be different? And he said, I still got to be me. I'm still going to run the football, but Dan Enos is helping me develop as a passer. What is the key to the offense in terms of what he brings, Dan Enos, to KJ Jefferson's game specifically?
Well, I think Dan Enos has always done a really good job of being able to teeter just a little bit to what quarterbacks can do, like a KJ Jefferson, where we know he's got a big arm, he can run, he's got some good throws and everything, but it's a matter of making those reads and doing his checkdowns and looking and making the right decision on when to throw and when to run. Because there were even times last year, as great as he was, and I love KJ Jefferson, there were times where he should have started running, but he didn't. And there were a lot of times where he should have thrown the ball, but he didn't. So those were the things that it didn't seem like he was really developing from one year to the next. And with Dan Enos, I think that he's really going to help him out, especially if you look at what Enos did with Jalen Hurts when he was at Alabama. Jalen Hurts had one of the best years statistically while he was there at the Crimson Tide. And I think Enos really helped him with that, rushing and throwing. So I think as long as he can, Enos can help him with his decision making, because you said it, keeping him healthy is the main thing that they got to do this year. They can just adjust that. It's going to be a great year offensively for Arkansas.
I find the pressure this year to be fascinating for Sam Pittman, because he steps in, he overachieves. Everyone is in love with his – I mean, personally, I'm in love with the transparency and the honesty and sort of the, you know, like the everyman's everyman nature of how he communicates. I think it's very refreshing in a sport where you never get anything. He just sort of tells you how it is. But all of a sudden, you're replacing coordinators. Maybe you have a slightly disappointing season last year. Where are, like, what happens if this team is 7-5, even though the schedule is very, very difficult? What happens to the hot seat conversation around Sam Pittman if they're 7-5?
You know, I think that if they go one, that'll be one win more than what they had this past season. It does go in the right direction. I think they'll probably be, they'll be fine. Like, most people will be okay with it. They won't be happy, but they'll be okay. And there'll be some people that are saying, hey, you know, we need to move on from this. It's, you know, not every 7-5 is created equal. If two of those losses are non-conference, then, you know, that's a problem. But
right.
I think that people are believing that this year, because of what they have and because of just the culture they're trying to bring, that this could be a year that they can win 8 games. I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility. I know the schedule's really brutal in the middle part of it, but the bookends are fairly manageable. And I think that it, when it comes to the hot seat part of it, everyone loves Sam Pittman here too, for the same reasons you said it. And this is a job he has always wanted. Like, this is his dream job, to be at Arkansas. And so he wants to win. And I think Razorback fans, if they were going to win a national championship, they would want Sam Pittman to be the one hoisting the trophy. Like, they would want him to be the coach. But, you know, it's all about the wins. And with what they got coming back this year, and knowing that they were 7 points away from going 9-3 last year, instead went 6-6, they expect the adjustments to be made and the push to be made move forward. And if he doesn't do that, then there's going to be people that start jumping ship on him pretty quick.
You mentioned the close games. How much of that is on Sam Pittman? Like your job as a CEO is to manage the game, to manage the moments. You got to make the right decisions on fourth down. And you mentioned the trick plays already. Like, how much of losing that many close games or not finishing games is on the head coach?
Well, to me, that's the ultimate question, is because it may not even be, because I don't think it is. Like, I don't think last year's losses were all on Sam Pittman. I thought some decisions and some things that went down were something that, you know, he didn't have much control over. But at the end of the day, the head coach is always going to be the ones that get the blame for everything. And I think that's why he made the changes that he needed to make. He's like, listen, this, you know, you guys, I know you guys made the mistakes, but it comes down to me. And so I think last year, the problem was, is, yeah, like, you could say play calling, but there were culture problems in the locker room. There were players that were not listening to Coach Pittman, and there was some, you know, some coaches that were even on staff that were causing a lot of division. And so he tried to get rid of them all and tried to start fresh, and that was, I think that was a major problem. And also, the team just couldn't put it in on the goal line. They were awful at goal line situations, and for a Sam Pittman coach team, all about right. the offensive line, about the strengths, for them not to do that was problematic. So he gets the blame in the end, but I think that the main issues from last season have been addressed, have been changed, and have been moved out. And if you talk to Sam Pittman, he seems about as excited this year, this upcoming year, that he's ever been for a football season, because he feels like this is where the culture needs to be.
John Neighbors, 103.7 in Little Rock. Thank you so much, man. We do appreciate your time.
No problem. See you in Nashville next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, John. I am fascinated by the state of happiness in the SEC. If that makes sense, everybody is happy. Everybody is optimistic. Maybe not happy, but optimistic. I think Florida fans are starting to see the fruits of the infrastructure labor at Florida, building out this massive infrastructure. They're starting to see the fruits of that labor on the recruiting trail. That gives them the hope that they want, year two under Billy Napier. I think Missouri fans are kind of in an interesting place, even though Eli Drinkwitz, you could argue, as, you know, maybe overachieved slightly. He hasn't had a losing season at Missouri. That's something to talk about. Auburn fans are ecstatic. LSU fans are excited. Texas A&M fans are cautiously optimistic, I would say. Tennessee fans are over the moon, excited. Kentucky fans are fired up, ready to go. South Carolina fans, insanely happy right now. Everybody's pretty optimistic. And if you ask me which coach could be on the hot seat by the end of the year, I think Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri is one of them potentially, but I like that team to be better. I think the other one is Sam Pittman. But I kind of agree with John in that I think there's a lot of reasons to like where this team is headed. I think KJ Jefferson will have his best season with Dan Enos running the offense, developing him for with NFL skills. And I think Arkansas is going to be fine this year. But like with every one of these teams, the schedules are just loaded with 50-50 games. You have to make the critical decision in the critical situation. You're going to have so many 50-50 games every single Saturday. I think it's going to be one of the most exciting and dramatic regular seasons we've ever seen. We don't know who's favored to win the West. No one's ever three-peated. Georgia's trying something that's never been done before. We have potential breakout quarterbacks across the entire conference. We don't know which one's going to break out. We have a question about what Alabama's going to be for the first time in probably Nick Saban's entire career at Alabama. I'm not saying that they're going to be bad. I'm saying there is a question about who they will be this year for the first time ever. Because if they're not great, Alabama, that's two straight seasons of not being the team in the West. Not even the team against Georgia, not even the best team in the West. Even though on paper and their record says they were the best in the West last year, they lost to the team that won the division. So Arkansas has to navigate all of teams like Arkansas, Ole Miss, Kentucky, A&M, South Carolina, Tennessee. They have to navigate a schedule loaded with 50-50 games and fourth down conversions and red zone conversions. Those are the things that are going to define the season. Your calls. 855-242-7285. The rest of the way, folks, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you about Alabama. I want to hear from you about breakout stars. I want to hear from you about nine-game schedule, and I want to hear from you about which team elevates from the middle class. Who is this year's Tennessee? Who is this year's LSU? 855-242-7285. My name is Braden Gall. Your call's next. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum here on ESPN Radio. 855-242-7285. Time for your calls. Cheerleader, welcome to the Feinbaum Show. What is up, cheerleader?
Hey, Braden, I've been out of the circuit for a little while, and I just wanted to ask a couple of questions about who do you think is going to be on the who's going to be like the top two quarterbacks that Alabama's going to be talking about?
Man, I think if I knew that, I would not be sitting here talking to you right now, cheerleader. I think Tyler Buchner was brought in for a specific purpose, and that was to create competition and to give Nick Saban some insurance. I think Jalen Milroe has the most experience playing for Alabama, and I think Ty Simpson has the most upside. So that's how I would handicap the race. but I don't know if you can say top two. I might lean Buckner 1, Simpson 2, Milrow 3. That might be how I would handicap it if I had to guess right now. But that's the million-dollar question in the entire conference right now, for sure.
Game, won't we? Listen, you were talking about, of course, Georgia and Alabama, and Alabama's, you know, they've missed out 2 years in a row and on and on and on and on. But guess who people are still talking about? Alabama.
Yes, ma'am. You betcha.
They're still talking about Alabama, and I don't know what wonderful program on TV I was watching a couple of weeks ago, but Bear Bryant was on there and some of his high points and, you know, talking about his coaching and this and that, and in his rough and gruff and wonderful voice. He said, you know, the person that's going to win the game is the team that's going to have those breakout plays. They're going to have those breakout plays, and they've got to have some breakout plays to win the game. And I just think Alabama's going to have something in their pocket, and maybe everybody's not looking deep enough to find it. So, roll tide.
Thank you for taking my call. No, thank you for calling, cheerleader. Listen, I am not suggesting that I have a strong feeling one way or the other about what happens with Alabama this year. And honestly, it is – I cannot wait – you're exactly right. They are not the favorite to win the SEC. They're not the favorite to win the national championship. They did not win their division last year. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be, and that makes them incredibly interesting because Nick Saban is still the greatest coach of all time, and the roster 1-85 is still among the top two, maybe top three at worst, in the entire sport. They are better along the offensive line than they were last year. They're probably going to be better at the skill position players around the quarterback. Defensively, they got to replace a couple of safeties and Will Anderson, but otherwise I think they're going to be ridiculously good on defense. I think the coordinators might actually be an upgrade. So I just – there's so much – you can spin it positively. They lost two games by a total of two plays. If Jahmyr Gibbs catches an angle route over the middle, the field goal is 10 yards shorter. There's no time for Tennessee to make the trip back down the field, and they win the game. Bama, they make the field goal. They win the game against Tennessee. If Mason Taylor, tight end for LSU, drops a pass on a two-point conversion, they win that game too. So they're two plays away from being undefeated and the division champion and playing in Atlanta. Now, they're also a couple of plays away from losing to Texas A&M, losing to Ole Miss, and having the other two losses. They got away with one against Texas. They needed Bryce Young to win that game. Without Bryce Young, they are not even in the game against Tennessee. So this is the point about Alabama. We just don't know what they are. And there's no way Nick Saban, if he was 100% convinced that Ty Simpson or Jalen Milroe had taken the job and was the guy, there's no way he even attempts to bring in Tyler Buckner. It doesn't mean it's a problem. It just means that he was not convinced of what he had, in my opinion. And that makes them more interesting than they have ever been, because two straight years of not winning the division is basically unprecedented in Nick Saban's tenure as the coach there. So I feel comfortable saying, like, this is one of the most interesting years in Bama history with Saban, because he could win three more championships. I wouldn't be surprised. I also wouldn't be surprised if they lose three games this year. And that's never been the scenario with Alabama. Larry from Shelby. Larry, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you?
Hey, did you say two straight years without winning the conference?
The division. The division is even.
Yeah, they won the SEC championship. They've only went one time without winning the SEC. But Saban proved today that he's the man. He signed three top players in one day, three. And he beat Ohio State out of that boy. Last name's Brown, but he beat Ohio State out of him. And we're going to roll. I mean, you're like, I don't know. You don't know. Nobody does. But I would say this. I don't care what happens as long as we get to beat the snot out of Georgia. I cannot stand the Bulldogs. Ever since they got up in the air, uppity-uppity, and Schlupp locked on us with losing our two major receivers, of course, it shows you when we didn't have nobody to step up. The ones that we did was dropping passes right and left. So, yeah, but Georgia, you know, the Bulldogs might as well get ready for ass-kicking. I mean, Bama, this is, and I'll say this, they said it before, and maybe in a, it wasn't true, but this year I think we're going to really whoop some ass.
There you go.
I mean, I'm 76 now, brother, and I'm going to tell you something. I just hope I can pull it off. One more year, brother. Come on, Roll Tide.
There you go. That was my entire point. My entire point is that they have never gone more than 1 year, quote unquote, down, if you even want to call it that, right? 2010, we all know that. 5-3 in the conference, his worst record as the head coach. What happened the next 2 years? Natty. They go 6-2 in 2019, come back 10-0, Natty. So he's answered the call every time. Every time there's even been a quote unquote, like if they've only had two losses in back to back seasons. That goes, you got to go back to 13-14. And again, that was an upset and against that you needed a kick six and then Ohio State. But again, those were both in championship situations. One was in the playoff against Ohio State. You were the number one team in the nation. Obviously not a down year. But to not win the division 2 years in a row would be the worst two-year stretch since year number one. And that is a question. We don't know if they're even the favorite in the West right now. I'd probably pick them, but we don't know. More of your calls right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Braden Gall in for Paul. More of your calls right here on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
855-242-7285. We are 1 week away from SEC Media Days. Talking season gets underway right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Coming up next week, as all the dignitaries of the Southeastern Conference descend upon my fair city. My name is Braden Gall, in for Paul, 855-242-7285. I do think this is going to be one of the most interesting college football seasons we've ever seen. It is the end of an era. It is the end of a period of time that I think is going to be looked back on as a stepping stone. This 10-year playoff run, I think, has a fascinating legacy, because after this season's over, which we have quarterback questions at Ohio State and Alabama, and you know, is LSU back? Is Texas back? Is USC back? Is the Pac-12 relevant at all? Can Michigan and Jim Harbaugh get over the hump? Georgia's trying to three-peat. Clemson and Penn State have quarterbacks that they believe in, but are they going to break out? Is Tennessee back? There's just so much intrigue in college football this year, and it's the end of an era. It's the last four-team playoff ever. It's the last time we have divisions in the SEC and the Big Ten. It's just the end of a generation of college football, and it's going to change forever next season. And I think we have more questions and more intrigue in this sport than we have ever had, maybe any summer I can remember going into SEC Media Days. And it all gets started on Monday. 855-242-7285. Pat from Atlanta. Pat, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, this is the first time I've gotten the opportunity to call in. And listen, I'm a huge, huge Georgia fan because I lived in Georgia, got to meet Coach Rick, spend time with him, amazing human being, got to spend time with Coach Dooley, amazing. I run a large company in Georgia. But then my son went to Alabama, so I became a huge Alabama fan, but I'm not against anybody, so take my comments in that vein. I'm just fascinated that everybody is all of a sudden, like Nick is somehow or another, Coach Saban, dead. I had the grand privilege of interviewing him for my company 2 years ago. Dr. Kevin Elko got me the opportunity to do that, who coaches Coach. And the fascinating part of it, spending time with him, is that he is who he is. But then you just sit back and say, everyone's talking about, wow, they don't have a quarterback. I'm like, okay, look, I watched last year, Jalen Milroe, he only got a game and a half where he owned it, right? And so they had a bad year. They lost two games on the last play of the game, or that's what happened, okay? That was not the same Alabama championship team we've all seen. We all know that, okay? But that happens occasionally along the way. Reality is this. What if Nick knows more than everybody else, which would be a great what if? And what if, in fact, going into the fall, he knew that either one of the two guys, Ty or Jalen, was going to win the job, and then they wouldn't have a backup quarterback because somebody might transfer? Why wouldn't you bring in Tyler Buchner? Everyone's like, well, they don't have a quarterback. I'm thinking, I don't know. I watched a guy, Jalen, who looks like Jalen Hurts to me, the second coming, run 70-some yards against Arkansas last year, never really got prepped because it was Bryce's team. Reality is, this is a very talented team coached by the greatest coach in history. No disrespect to Kirby Smart. He's got two championships now, but he doesn't have as many as Nick. And he's a great coach, so they could win three straight. It wouldn't shock me. But I think everybody just needs to chill for just a minute on discounting Bama and their quarterback situation, because Ty Simpson's a five-star. Jalen was a four-star, Milroe, who already showed you he can make unbelievable plays. And they brought in Ty Buchner. Well, guess what? The transfer portal is open. And who wouldn't do that right now, bring in a guy who could clearly be a great backup? Why is everybody assuming they don't have a guy that can play just because of what, spring football? Jalen Milroe, who's a, hey, the play didn't work out, so I'm going to make an unbelievable play take place, because you don't do that in spring. So I just want to tell you all, listen, I'm a Bama fan, huge Bama fan. I'm a huge college football fan. Everybody ought to take a chill pill, because Bama is madly talented, one of the best recruiting classes in history last year. And anybody who wants to discount that guy in Tuscaloosa ought to get their head examined. I'm out.
I think that's all fair. And I don't think, frankly, I don't think I've done any of that. And I'm not saying you were accusing me of that. I'm not saying that they have quarterback problems. I don't know if they have a quarterback problem. I'm not saying – I don't think Nick Saban has ever lost a step. I think everyone else has gained a step. I think Alabama has one of the top three rosters in America. Said that multiple times today. I think Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson, and Tyler Buchner is – 99% of college football teams would love to have those three guys in their quarterback room. But it's not as good of a quarterback room as LSU has right now. So I think the thing with Alabama is absolutely be careful what you wish for. Doubt at your own peril. I totally agree. I am not doubting them. In fact, right now, if I had to put pen to paper and I was voting right now in my SEC media ballot, like I'm going to do next Thursday, who am I picking to win the West right now? I would lean Alabama. The game's in Tuscaloosa. I don't know if LSU can go on the road and win that game. I also don't know if LSU is mature enough, 1-85 on their roster, not mentally, but like as a program, deep enough to go unscathed through the rest of their schedule. They got tough games, man, way tougher games. Right now, I'd probably pick Alabama to go 11-1. I'd probably pick them to lose to A&M, but I'd probably pick them to win every other game. And to get to Atlanta and play in the championship game, probably lose to Georgia and finish 11-2. That might be my prediction right now. Is that doubting them or is that giving them credit? I don't know. But the question is, what are they going to be? And for the first time in a while, we just don't know. You can say that you know, and you can make the case that they're going to be great and elite, and you can make the case that there are questions for the first time. You can make the case for both of those things. We just don't know for sure, and that is interesting because it's different. Dev from Athens. Dev, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. What is up?
What's going on, man? How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Man, just driving on my way home from work. That's about it. Figured I'd tune into the show and listen in a little bit. Just on the subject of Alabama, you know, they're not going to go away. I kind of fit in the boat with you on their schedule. I'm going 10-2. I think Texas is going to bring it to them week two, and that's probably going to make a lot of people mad.
I think there's a lot of people that agree with you, Dev.
Last year it was actually nice to watch that game, and I actually won some money in Vegas off that game by Texas covering the spread, which was pretty good. And the whole deal in the end zone, man, you know, that should have been a safety. Alabama should have won. They should have had three losses last year. But like I said, I'm not biased. You know, I'm all for it. So SEC, but I guess I kind of am biased. But I think they're going to have a lot tougher every year than most people may expect. But I see it going 10-2.
Thank you, Dev. I appreciate it. The beauty and the intrigue, and again, this adds to the entire conversation, last year's record, because they were 2 plays away from being undefeated, and they were 3 plays away from having 4 or 5 losses. And that is fascinating. That is not a place we are used to seeing Alabama. 1 play away, they don't beat Texas. 1 literally on the last play, they beat A&M. Ole Miss was in the red zone to score at the end of the game. And then they also could have beaten Tennessee, could have beaten LSU, lost on the last play of the game, both on the road, both those games at home this year. This is what I'm saying. It's not that I think they are one thing or the other. It's that we don't know, and that is utterly fascinating to me. Here's what what I know about Alabama is they are 1-85, one of the best rosters in America. What I know about Alabama is Nick Saban is the greatest coach that's ever lived. What I know about their schedule is 2 of their biggest games of the 3 or 4 biggest games are at home. What do I know? This team has been far better at home. I don't think they've lost at home since like 2019. They are far better at home than they are on the road. What do I know about their schedule? Auburn's going to be better, and that game's on the road at the end of the year. They have 3 quarterbacks. We don't know which one is the best. We don't know. And for the first time in a long time, it could be 2 straight years of not knowing, and that would be unprecedented. More of your calls, 855-242-7285. More of your calls. You guys are lining up the phone lines. We do appreciate it. My name is Braden Gall. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
855-242-7285. We were arguing in the commercial break. Is Ohio State better or worse this year? Tune in tomorrow to the Paul Feinbaum Show. At Braden Gall on Twitter. Let's get some phone calls here. Bob in Huntsville. Bob, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you today?
I am doing great.
Let me tell you, you've done an outstanding job. I've heard more sports and more dedicated talk about SEC the last several days on this show than I ever have. But I only get to catch the last few minutes of it because I work 12 hours a day. But you've done an outstanding job. No Jerry Springer type stuff. No who's the greatest caller, but who's the greatest coaches? And I agree with that. And I think we're just all blessed. We have good coaches, and we've got great teams in the SEC. Yep. And my team is Auburn. I hope they'll do better with being able to get, you know, maybe somebody else's talent this year and utilize it when they didn't get to play in another team. But once again, thank you for the opportunity to call into your show. Keep doing a good job, and I look forward to hearing from you again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Tune in tomorrow. Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. RC from Alabama. RC, welcome to the Paul Finebaum Show.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Did you pay that guy to call you? He's
probably
still sucking up.
I probably should have, huh?
Yeah, you probably should have, because you love to hear yourself talk, I tell you that.
Well, I'd rather listen to you guys talk, so.
Yeah, but you love to talk.
Yeah,
man, tell you what.
It's a talk show,
when's Finebaum coming back?
Maybe
when's
never.
When's Finebaum coming back?
Maybe never, RC. Media Days is Monday, big guy. Media Days is Monday. He'll be back.
I said, when's Finebaum coming back off of vacation?
Media Days is Monday. He'll be back.
I said, when? All right, I got you now. I'm just slow, I guess. All right, man. You have
that.
You a good day. But, hey. Yeah, let a few more callers talk.
I would, RC. Y'all got to call the phone lines, man. I'd much rather listen to y'all than me. I know that's for sure.
That's
y'all got to call.
That's the reason ain't nobody calling. That's
y'all
the reason nobody's calling.
All right.
That's the reason nobody's calling, man.
RC, thank you for the call, sir. Here's the thing, guys. I don't know if you guys know how radio works, but if there are – if I can't just sit here in silence. You know, like it's a talk show. We talk. It's what we're supposed to do. Harry from Shelby. Harry, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. I just want to say real quick, Larry, you're my favorite caller. I think you may be my long-lost brother. But anyway, yeah, I want to talk about history repeating itself with Alabama. Remember 2010, had a disappointing season, 10-3, 2011. We go in there on – unknown at quarterback. We have A.J. McCarron, Phillip Sims. They played both of them for the first couple, three games. What did we do at the end of the year? Won the national championship. Mm-hmm. 2015, same thing. 2014 was kind of a disappointing season. Come in 2015, Jake Coker and three other people vying for the starting job. Coker ends up winning it. We end up winning the national championship. So I feel like that's where we are again this year.
It's very possible, and Saban will probably admit to you, Harry. Thank you for the call. And Saban will probably admit that he didn't even manage that situation in 15 as well as he could have. Wasn't the Ole Miss loss? Didn't he start Blake Barnett in that game, or David Cornwell, or one of those English sounding fellas on one of those five stars? Frank from Montgomery. Frank, welcome to the Paul Finebaum Show.
Man, do not let RC call in here talking trash to you about how you're running the show. It's run better in the last couple of days than it has in 5 years.
Oh,
talking about when Finebaum coming back. When he dude, that is the trashiest call I have heard. And I never call this show. But this is just ridiculous. So don't let him come in here talking, running his mouth. He doesn't know what content means. He's just, if it's not the radio show, it's Twitter. I'm looking for a reaction from somebody. So don't let him get under your skin.
Oh, it's been great.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you, man. And here's the God's honest truth about this. As someone who has worked in college football, covering college football for my entire career, almost 20 years, I'm an SEC grad, and I love it so much that when you take the time out of your day to get on Twitter or call this show and tell me that I am doing a terrible job or that you hate my opinion or that you disagree with me, nothing makes me happier, truly. Like, I am honored that you took time out of your day to tell me that I suck. I know that's weird. I know that's crazy. I know it's not normal. I know it's not normal. But it is the truth. Did we have breaking news right now with, like, 2 minutes to go? According to ESPN's Pete Thamel, Pat Fitzgerald has been fired. So we have a lot to discuss tomorrow because we started the show talking about that, what was going to happen. And some people thought I had it out for Pat Fitzgerald, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. All right, we can go one more real fast here. I'll try to get you guys in. Tyler from Missouri. Tyler, what's up?
Hey, man, I just want to say the SEC East is going to be won by Mizzou football.
Whew. All right, Tyler, thank you for the call. I don't even know how to react to that because I actually like Missouri this year. I think they're going to be better. I think they could be sneaky dangerous. I like the over. But you're going to go down to Athens and win that game? Whew. I don't know. I don't know. Fifth longest tenured coach in college football, Pat Fitzgerald, has been fired, according to ESPN's Pete Themel. That will be a huge topic of conversation tomorrow on the Paul Feinbaum Show. A major opening in the Power Five, although Northwestern, not exactly a dominant program the last few years. But it is tied to a hazing scandal at Northwestern football. So it is not because of wins and losses. So we will discuss, and I will let you talk. Everybody who calls, you got in today. You can get in tomorrow as well. My name is Braden Gall. You can get to me on Twitter, at Braden Gall. Otherwise, have a great one, everybody. This has been the Paul Feinbaum Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.